pastor, or Brother Mejia, as he preaches your word. Fill him with your spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The part of the chapter we're going to focus on this morning is found in verse number 25 of Romans chapter 11, where the Bible reads, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." The title of my message this morning is, "All Israel shall be saved." All Israel shall be saved. Now before you cast me out of the church, all right, just hear me out first, all right? All Israel shall be saved. By the way, I'm taking it straight from the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
All Israel shall be saved. We're going to explain what that means. You know, there's a lot of confusion over this verse. And before we get into any of that, I want to first say that we as a church, we are a post-trib, pre-wrath, rapture church. Okay?
Amen.
And if you believe differently, we're not against you. If you believe differently, you're not inferior to us. But we want you to understand what the Bible says about this subject. Okay? And by the way, some of you in here were probably pre-trib before. And you came to the knowledge of the post-trib, pre-wrath. And what happened? You converted, you saw what the Bible said, and you said, "I'm going to go with what God says, not what man's opinion says." Amen?
Amen.
Well, not only that, but we are a replacement theology church, okay? If you didn't know that, I mean, we got the scripture here, but you are a chosen generation, amen? And we believe that the Jews are no longer God's chosen people. We believe that we are the chosen of God. Why? Because God has chosen the New Testament saints to be God's chosen people. And we're going to explain some of that in just a little bit. But often when you talk to people who believe in a pre-tribulation doctrine, and even that the Jews are God's chosen people, they will often refer to this verse right here. They will go to Romans 11:26 and say, no, hold on a second, Brother Bruce. The Bible says all Israel shall be saved. And let me explain something. In the Bible, when you are trying to prove a doctrine, and let's say there's about 10 verses that prove this doctrine, I mean clear scriptures that prove this doctrine. And you get one obscure verse that, you know, kind of maybe seems like it's saying a different thing. Go with the 10.
Amen.
All right. But let me say this. We know that the Bible is perfect. It's inerrant. And there is no contradiction in the Bible.
Amen.
So that goes to show that one verse is not teaching something contrary to those 10 verses. It just means that one verse, you're just misinterpreting that one verse.
Amen.
And let me say this. The other side of this issue will agree with us on that point right there. Because they would say, look, if there's 10 verses that prove that salvation is by grace through faith, right? And maybe there's that one verse, you know, they that endure to the end, they shall be saved, right? We all know what that means. If we don't, we'll explain it just a little bit. We obviously have to go with the 10 verses.
Amen.
And they would explain to people, you know, when they're out soul winning or whatever it may be, and they would say, that one verse is not what you think it means. You got to go with the 10. And here's the thing, there's scores of verses and even chapters in the Bible that teach that the Jews are not God's chosen people.
Amen.
I mean, God has dedicated full books in the Bible to talk about that subject right there. Full scriptures, things that are clear as day to tell us that we are God's chosen people.
Amen.
But what happens? They'll get that one verse. Romans 11:26 is, I agree with that, but here's the thing. All Israel, the Bible says, shall be saved. And here's the thing, I've been wanting to preach this for a long time.
Amen.
And the reason why is because that's the most common verse that people use to try to disprove us.
Amen.
And here's the thing, unfortunately, not only pre-tribbers are confused about this, I've met people who believe in a post-trib pre-wrath who will, they stumble at this verse. Okay, I've met people who will say, yeah, I believe in a post-trib pre-wrath, but you know, maybe God does have a plan for Israel at the end. I mean, the Bible does say all Israel shall be saved. You know, and it's almost like a stumbling point where preachers can use and say, yeah, but you don't know what to do with this verse right here. Well, we're going to put that thing to bed today.
Amen.
Okay. And by the time you leave the service, you will have no doubt in your mind what that verse means. In fact, you will be equipped, right, to face the preachers, the mafia.
Amen.
When they come to you, you'll be able to say, I'm going to tell you right now. I can't tell you in the beginning of the sermon because then you're going to leave before then. No. See, in order to understand when all Israel shall be saved, we need to get certain foundational principles laid out first. And if you want to write this down, you can write this down. Go to Revelation chapter number 1. First and foremost, we need to understand the chronology of the book of Revelation. Okay, we need to understand that the book of Revelation is written in chronological order of events, all right? And what you have in the book of Revelation is this. Obviously, there's 22 chapters, and it's broken up really into three different parts. There's chapters 1 through 16 that records the first century AD. It records the tribulation. It records the rapture. It records the wrath of God. It records the Armageddon, millennial reign, the new heaven and new earth. It records everything, right? But that's broken up into two parts. You have chapters 1 through 11, and then you have chapters 12 through 16 that repeat the same thing. Okay? And you say, yeah, but that's a long stretch. What do you mean they're repeating the same thing? The Gospels are four books, and they repeat the same thing too. Because here's the thing, chapters 1 through 11, there's certain aspects of the tribulation that we see in Revelation chapter 6 that's not mentioned in chapter 13, right? But there's certain aspects in chapter 13 that clarify what's going on in Revelation chapter number 6. And vice versa. So it's written in chronological order. We need to understand that. Okay? And the way the chronological order works is this. Chapters 1 through 3 is really talking about first century AD. That's why the Bible says that it's to the seven churches. Yeah. And by the way, let me explain something to you. These aren't dispensations. Amen. Okay? Because they're often saying these are different church ages, different dispensations. And no, these are literal churches. Amen. Okay? These are literal churches that existed at one point, that don't exist anymore. And let me say this. The primary interpretation of that is that it was written to those seven churches. Yes, we could get a secondary application. Yes, there's certain characteristics found within those churches that we can apply to our church as a whole today. But here's the thing. They were literal churches. Amen. The Laodicean church does not exist today. Amen. Oh, wait, let me take that back. Maybe they do exist in certain areas, right? They're still Laodicean, lukewarm. I'm so sorry. I was off on that, right? Look, I'm man. I make mistakes. But these literal churches don't exist anymore. Yes. Well, then you have chapters 5 through 6. There is the narrator, John, the Apostle John, given his experience when he's taken up in spirit to see these things that are going to come to pass. Chapter 6, we see the tribulation before the rapture. Yep. Okay? We see the six seals and the seventh seal that opens it up to the seven trumpets and vials. And then we see what? We see Armageddon taking place. And after Armageddon, what takes place? The millennial reign. Yep. And then the white throne judgment, new heaven, and the new earth. So we need to understand the chronology of this. And we're going to get back to this in just a little bit. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. It's denoting chronology. And one common phrase that you'll see throughout the book of Revelation is this, after these things. Yeah. Denoting what? Chronology. Yeah. In chapter 7, you'll see it. And throughout the chapters after chapter 7, you'll always constantly see that phrase, after these things, or something similar to it. It's telling you this is in chronological order. Right. Okay? Yeah. So that's the first thing we need to realize. There's a chronology to the book of Revelation, and it'll really help you to understand it. Because here's the thing, preachers, they literally believe that the rapture is found in Revelation chapter 4. Now, I remember I used to hear that. The people would say, yeah, they believe that Revelation chapter 4 is the rapture. And I'm like, you can't, no way. They're not that dumb. You know, it's like Revelation chapter 4. But I remember being in Bible college, sitting under an intensive, when a pastor literally got up and said, yeah, I mean, John being caught up in the spirit is the rapture. So is that the only guy that's saved? If he's the only one, because he's the only one that went up in Revelation chapter number 4. And the Bible says that it was in the spirit. Well, we know that the rapture is what? Is a bodily resurrection. Amen. Our bodies are going to meet him in the air. They which are dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the air. It's a bodily resurrection. So Revelation 4 is not the rapture. But Revelation chapter 6, we see the seals being opened. We see the Antichrist coming in, the economy changing, and of course the persecution of Christians. And then after that, the sun and moon are being darkened. That's the day of the Lord, which is the same day as his wrath. And that opens it up. And then you see the 144,000 who are coming from heaven to here. They're not Israelites that get saved here. Okay? Yes, I'm telling you. Okay? Now here's the thing. You say, how do you know that? Because the two witnesses, the olive trees, they come from heaven, right? So why is it so hard to believe the 144,000 can come from heaven as well? All right, and we're going to prove that in just a bit. Then we see the wrath of God. And see, here's the thing. We'll often get criticized, and people will say, no, you guys want to believe, you guys want to go through the tribulation, you guys want to go through the wrath of God. No, we're pre-wrath. Amen. We're not mid-tribbers, okay, as people like to call us. We are post-trib, before the tribulation, after the tribulation, but before the wrath of God is what we believe, okay? Amen. We're not here for the wrath of God because the Bible says that God has not appointed us to wrath.
Amen.
Bottom line. And let me say this, anybody who's believed on Christ, I mean, since the book of John, it tells us that we're no longer under the wrath of God.
Amen.
So the chronology of the book of Revelation is very important to understand, very important to memorize, very important to know where everything is. But not only that, we're going to look at the components of the rapture, the particulars. Go to Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 7. What does it look like? You know, if you've seen the what's that called? The movie. Tell me the movie.
Left Behind.
You know, your clothes are left and, you know, planes are crashing and all these things. And that's not the rapture. And here's the thing. In that movie, Left Behind, it shows the battle of Gog and Magog in the very beginning. Well, that's why I said it's important to know the chronology of the book of Revelation, because that doesn't come to way after. Okay. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, "Behold, he cometh with what?
Clouds,
and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen," the Bible says. So first of all, we understand that one of the components of the rapture is this: he's coming with clouds.
Yes.
It's not a secret rapture.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, yeah, that, and you just disappear. That's not how it works. The Bible says that every eye will see him. We're going to behold him. People are going to wail because of him. Why? Because the great day of his wrath is come, the Bible says. Now go to Acts chapter 1. I know a lot of this stuff is like, yeah, I know some of these things. But here's the thing. There's some people in our church even today that don't know these things. And you need to get used to listening to these things, because we're going to talk about it over and over and over again. Because we need a mature spiritual. Because even, look, there's a lot of people who even believe in a post-trib pre-wrath. But they don't even necessarily know how to explain it yet, right? Or they don't know all the specifics, the details of the post-trib pre-wrath position. Revelation chapter, what do I have you turn? Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible says here, "But ye shall receive power, and after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up." And a what?
Wow.
"Received him out of their sight." You say, that's not the rapture. Well, let's keep reading. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in what? Like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So how did he leave? In a cloud. He said, that's the same way he's going to come back. In a cloud. Does that make sense? Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter number 24. In verse 29, the Bible says here, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man," every eye shall see him, "coming in the what? Clouds of heaven, with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Now, the pre-tribbers, what they believe is this, that Revelation 4, when the Bible says that the angel had a voice like a trumpet, they say that's it. But no, the Bible says it's a literal trumpet. They're going to hear it. Everyone's going to hear it.
Yeah.
And the Bible says here that he cometh with clouds. And when does it come? After the sun and moon are darkened.
Yeah.
Okay? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And they'll often say, well, Matthew 24, come on. You know what I'm about to say. Matthew 24 is not for us, buddy. Mm-hmm. It's for the Jews. And we're looking at it in just a little bit. But if you were to ask them, so why do you believe in a pre-tribulation rapture? They'll often say, because the Bible says what? No man knoweth the day or the hour.
Yep.
He cometh as a thief in the night, right? Well, guess where that's found? In Matthew 24.
Amen. Right.
That's one thing I'm just like, so you're saying it's for the Jews then? Yeah, it's Matthew 24 is for the Jews. What about no man knoweth the day or the hour? Don't you believe in that? Yeah, where's that? I don't know. I'll show you where it's at. It's in Matthew 24. Right? It's like, what are you doing? It's right there. Matthew 24. And by the way, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 are all parallel passages.
Yes.
Okay, and Mark 13 says something that Matthew 24 doesn't say, and I think he put it there specifically for the pre-trib guys. What does it say? What I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 says this, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." The rapture is not a secret. It's not something that just in a twinkling, they like to say this, it happens in the twinkling of an eye. And here's the thing, they say, they basically say it's like a secret rapture. But the Bible says, "Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not," he says. So the Bible specifically tells us, when they start telling you that it's like a secret, don't believe it.
Amen.
Don't believe it. Go to, let's see here. Go to Matthew, go back to Matthew chapter 24. The rapture is not a secret. Amen. Which leads into my next point. Okay. So first we saw the chronology of the book of Revelation. Then we looked at the components of the rapture. Now we're going to look at the contradiction of the pre-tribulation rapture. Okay. And look, we don't look down on people who are pre-trib. But when they start, when you show them the clear verses, you know, and they still don't want to accept it, then I'm going to start looking down. Yeah. And I'm going to start thinking, okay, then you have an agenda then. Okay, because here's the thing. Again, I was pre-trib, okay, but when the truth is shown and the evidence is present, you do one of two things. You could resist the truth,
yes,
and say, "No, my gang is the pre-trib mafia, and I'm never going to change." Yeah. Or you can say, "You know what? I love the Bible, and I want to make sure that I believe right.
Amen.
I want to make sure that I'm right on this. You know, I'm going to switch positions. You know, regardless of the cost." If everyone abandons me or not, this is what I'm going to believe, because this is what God wants me to believe. But there's a lot of contradictions within the pre-trib rapture. The greatest flaw of the pre-tribulation rapture is this teaching of imminency, which means it could happen all of a sudden. Okay? Matthew 24, verse 36, this is what they'll take you to. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And by the way, we believe that. Because I've been, you know, and this is something that's been said to me personally. He goes, "You guys put a date. You guys are putting a date. And here's the question. What's the date?"
Right.
Right? What's the date? We know that it's after the tribulation, but just because we say it's after the tribulation doesn't necessarily mean that we're putting a date to it. Because we don't know the day or the hour. Because here's the thing. The thing that kicks off everything is the covenant that is signed by the Antichrist with many, right, for 1 week. But we don't know when that is.
Right.
So we don't know when everything really starts. We just know that when the abomination of desolation is set up, from that time forward, we have about 75 days. Okay? But we don't know the day, we don't know the hour. All right? And anybody who accuses of that, just ask them, "So what's the date and the hour that we say that, what's the time that we're putting to it?" They won't be able to tell you, because we've never done anything like that. Verse 42 says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh." Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We're going to go back and forth on these scriptures, and we're going to go back to Revelation. And I'm just giving you a foundational, some foundations here in order to understand all Israel being saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 15 says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now skip down to chapter 5 and verse number 1. So pre-tribbers and post-tribbers, we both agree that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is the rapture.
Amen.
I mean, that's clear, right? I mean, we would agree. We would say, yeah, that's the rapture. But look at chapter 5. And here's the thing. The Bible is broken up into chapters. But God didn't put those chapters there. You guys understand that, right?
Yeah.
Man put it there so we can understand it better, so we can have some organization, so we can, you know, memorize verses and stuff like that, and we know where things are at, so on and so forth. But man put it. So this chapter 5 is a continuation of the thought that we have in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, right? And look what it says. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Amen. And by the way, they would agree with that too. They would say, yeah, he comes as a thief in the night. You don't understand. This is how you know that we don't know the day or the hour when he's coming. It's not after the tribulation, because he cometh as a thief in the night. Verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in what? Darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief."
Amen.
got to keep reading sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Look, and by the way, in Romans 11:26, they'll quote, "All Israel shall be saved," and they'll completely disregard the rest of the verse.
Right.
There's more to the verse than "All Israel shall be saved." You guys know that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not done yet. Okay? And by the way, they'll just disregard everything even before that. They'll say, "All Israel shall be saved. Let's just make that its own verse." You know, the King James translators decided not to do that for some reason. Okay? There's a reason why it's all together. And look what it says. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, the children of the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." See, a lot of preachers, they're drunks spiritually. They're a bunch of alcoholics. Okay? Why? Because they're just like, yeah, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow is the rapture. You know? Eat, drink, and you just live life. It's going to be okay. We're not going to suffer any of these things. No, we need to be sober.
Yeah.
And see, here's the thing. They'll look at us and say, "You guys are a bunch of, you know, conspiracy guys." And no, we just want to be sober.
Yes.
We want to watch. We want to be alert during these things. And so here's the contradiction of the pre-tribulation wrath. Our pre-tribulation rapture is this. They believe that it just can happen at any moment. And let me say this. Don't worry. He's not coming today.
Amen.
He's not even coming tomorrow.
Amen.
Now talk to me in about 3 years. Then we'll see the signs of the times and maybe be able to say something. But it's not happening even for another 3 years.
Yep.
Okay? Because there's certain things that need to take place before that happens.
Right.
There's a great confusion about this. And here's the thing. We need to realize that we are in the end times right now. These are the last days. You know, and it's surprising that Daniel says, the Bible, the book of Daniel, talks about how God's people are going to grow in understanding during this time. And that's why these truths are coming out. Because why? Because God doesn't want us to be asleep. He wants us to be watchful. He wants us to understand that these things, there's certain things that need to take place before that happens.
Amen.
Go with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter number 30. Jeremiah chapter number 30. Pre-tribulation doctrine and Zionism, or being pro-Israel, they go hand in hand.
Yep.
Because the pre-tribulation doctrine is heavily dependent on the Jews being God's chosen people.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay? And let's start off by saying this. I don't hate Jews.
Amen.
Okay? I really don't hate them. I hate homos, but I don't hate Jews.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't hate them at all. I've witnessed to Jews. I've witnessed to rabbis. I mean, how many people could say they witnessed to a rabbi, you know? You know, and he, of course, he rejected it because he had his covenant, but, or has his covenant, right? And but here's the thing, is I don't hate them. I want to witness to them. I want them to be saved. But look, we're not second-class citizens according to the Bible.
Amen.
Okay, we are God's chosen people. And the Bible clearly defines that for us. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 7 says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Now, this is a key verse for them. They love referring to the tribulation as the time of Jacob's trouble. Okay. Now, I heard a sermon the other day, actually a couple weeks ago, of a pre-trib pastor. And he was saying, he goes, "What these post-trib guys don't understand is, you know, they need to go through Daniel's trouble." It's like Jacob's 70th week.
Yeah.
It's like, it's Daniel's 70th week. The other one's called Jacob's trouble. Sometimes you got to teach them what they believe. It's actually called, it's called Jacob. I don't believe in Jacob's trouble the way you believe in it, but let me just, it's called Jacob's trouble, okay?
Amen.
And here's the thing, they'll use this verse and they'll say, there it is, the time of Jacob's trouble. The 7-year tribulation is for the Jews. It's God dealing with the Jews. We know that to be true. Why? Because the times of the Gentiles shall be fulfilled at the rapture, and after the rapture, all Israel shall be saved. We see the 144,000 of Jews, which are not Jews, they're of Israel. The Jews are going to be saved. And then in Revelation chapter 19, they'll see Jesus Christ, you know, coming in his white horse, and they'll say, "Oh, we were wrong. Let's believe real quick." Do you really think that's how it's going to go down? Here's the thing. People say that all the time. They're like, "Yeah, I think that makes sense. Because how can you not believe when you see him on the white horse? They saw him come in a donkey and they still didn't believe."
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right?
Right?
He came into his own and his own received him not.
Amen.
And then here's the thing. In Revelation chapter 19, he comes with a lot of wrath. And he's coming to kill a lot of people.
Yes.
In the Gospels, he came resurrecting people.
Right.
He came performing miracles. He did things that no man has ever done. And they still didn't believe on him. So don't tell me that just because he comes on a white horse, if it's a black horse, if it's a pink horse, no, they won't believe no matter what horse he comes in. That's just the bottom line. And here's the thing. If you go to Revelation chapter 19, there's no account of any Jew believing. There's no account of any Israelite believing. But here, and if you tell them, they'll say, yeah, but Romans 11:26, all Israel shall be saved. Yeah, but Jacob's trouble says that he shall be saved out of it. Those are our text verses. You're using the Old Testament to prove something that doesn't even exist in the New Testament. Doesn't make any sense. Okay? They believe that Jacob's troubles is Daniel's 70th week, or what they would term as the seven-year tribulation. That when they believe that all Israel shall be saved. Go to Revelation chapter number 7. They say the Jews' salvation is found in Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter number 19. It says in verse number 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And say, so there you go. They're being sealed in their foreheads. When you get saved, you don't get sealed in your forehead.
Nope.
Okay, you get sealed with the Holy Ghost when you get saved. Amen? Until the day of redemption. But guess what? The day of redemption has just happened right here. Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, etc. All the way down to verse number 8. It goes through all some of the tribes there. And they'll say, there you go. There you go. See? All Israel shall be saved. We'll go to Revelation chapter number 14. Because remember, we got to know the chronology of the book of Revelation, right? Brother David, if you could, can you turn on the AC? Is it hot in here?
Yeah.
It's a little warm, right? Okay. Turn on the AC. Revelation chapter 14. So, you got to understand something. There's a chronology, right? So, Revelation chapter number 1 all the way to chapter 11 is the first part of Revelation, right? AD all the way up into the very end. And then chapter 12 all the way to 16, it basically repeats the same story. So Revelation chapter 14 is a parallel passage to Revelation chapter number 7. It's just going to give different details of what's taking place. Look what verse 1 says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the mount of Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now let me ask you, where is the lamb during this time?
Heaven.
So the 144,000 are where?
Heaven.
So they're not like in Jerusalem in some cave somewhere and they just pop out. It's time, guys. The time has come for all Israel to be saved. It doesn't work that way. They're in heaven. And look, we're not going to get into it, but you look at the characteristics of these Israelites. They were virgins. They were men who had no guile. You won't find that today.
Right.
Whether Jew or Gentile.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you were to cross the span of all the years and decades and hundreds of years that have passed by, you will find 144,000 virgin men with no guile.
Yep.
And we don't know how God specifically, how it happened. But look, we can definitely say within the last 2,000 years, 4,000, 5,000 years, you will definitely find 144,000 Jews who were men, or Israelites that were men as well. Mm-hmm. That were virgins. They had no guile in their mouths. And who knows, these men, for some reason, God chose them to say, you know, they obviously neglected, or they didn't experience a lot of the pleasures of this life for a reason. Yeah. But guess what? They're going to get theirs in the end times. I mean, God's going to honor them. God's going to uplift them during this time. That's who the 144,000 are. And they start off in heaven. So they're not in Jerusalem. They're in heaven. And then in Revelation chapter 7, we see that they're here.
Amen.
Okay? Where'd you have your turn? Are you in Revelation chapter number... So they believe that the times of the Gentiles start in 606 BC and will end in the rapture in chapter number 4. And look, some post-trib pre-wrath people actually believe the same thing, believe it or not. They believe that aren't we in the times of the Gentiles right now? I was like, no, this is not the times of the Gentiles. Okay, and they'll say, well, you know, I thought the times of the Gentiles was now up until the rapture, and then, you know, it's what takes place after that. No, the times of the Gentiles begins actually around the time of the abomination of desolation. And according to the Bible, it actually lasts for 3.5 years. So you got a problem there, because if they say the times of the Gentiles are from 606 BC up until the rapture, that's not 3.5 years. When the Bible clearly teaches that Jerusalem shall be trodden under foot of the Gentiles for 42 months, that's 3.5 years. But it does make sense, according to Romans 11:26, if all Israel shall be saved when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, 3.5 years before that, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay? I hope that didn't go over your head. If you look at Revelation 19, you will find no account of the so-called Jews getting saved by looking on him. And here's the thing. They'll go to some verse in Zechariah. Okay? They shall look at him on whom they have pierced. There it is. It's the salvation of the Jews. We've been trying to corrupt some sort of scripture in here to try to fit that. That won't fit. That already happened. Go to Romans chapter 11. Go back to Romans chapter 11. So the chronology is very much important, okay? You got chapters 1 through 3 talking about Revelation, chapters 1 through 3, the first century AD. And same thing with chapter 12. Okay, it goes back to the birth of Christ, and it sheds some light on that. Chapters 4 and 5 is John, the narrator, explaining his experience as he goes to heaven to be shown these things. Chapter 6 is the seals. That's where we see the tribulation. Okay, chapter 7 is when the great multitude appears in heaven, which is the saved people. And I think it's kind of neat. Sometimes when I read that, I'm like, man, I'm in there. Yeah. Like in Revelation chapter 7, I'm like, when John saw me with his own eyes. Right. You know, he saw us with his own eyes because he saw a great multitude which no man can number. We're there.
Amen.
Okay? And that's the rapture. Chapters 8 all the way up to 11 is recording the wrath of God. And then chapters 12 all the way through 16 repeats the story again. So I keep repeating this because we need to know these things, all right? Thereafter, we have, of course, Armageddon, where God comes with and destroys the armies. And then the millennial reign is set up, the white throne judgment, the new heaven, and the new earth. Right? So keep that in mind. But always remember that all these events that we're talking about right now is from chapters 1 all the way to chapter 16. And then 1 through 11 is one section, 12 through 16 is the second section. So we need to understand that the chronology of the book of Revelation, the components of the rapture, it's not a secret. He's going to come with clouds. The sun and moon are going to be darkened. The abomination of desolation has to be set up first. 75 days after that is when the rapture takes place. Then we have to understand the contradiction of imminence. Okay? We got to understand that imminence doesn't exist in the Bible. All right? That Christ can come at any moment. The confusion over Jacob's trouble, that's just the verse that they just took out of context. It doesn't mean that Israel's going to go through 7 years of tribulation. And here's the thing. This is how you can know it doesn't mean that they're going to go through tribulation for 7 years or that the tribulation is 7 years. Because there's a time during one of the seals in chapter 6 where we're being martyred, right? And what does it say? He says, how long, O Lord? You know, and I'm paraphrasing here. Go to Revelation chapter 6. We're going to look at it. I don't want to paraphrase. I want to just read it. Revelation chapter number 6. We'll start in verse number 8. The Bible reads here, and I looked and beheld a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not what? Judge. And what? Avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth. So we see here that God has not poured out his wrath yet. Because if they're saying, how long do you avenge us and pour your wrath on them? That goes to show that the first couple of seals that we see there up until the fifth seal is not the wrath of God. Because they're saying, how long until you do that? And of course, that's when the seventh seal comes, the sixth and the seventh seal that opens it all up. Now, here's the thing. If all of it is tribulation, then you got a problem because these saints are wrong then, right? Because they're saying, how long? Why didn't he tell them, what are you talking about? I'm already doing it. Didn't you see the first seal? That was me. No, that wasn't him. That's the Antichrist. Okay? So we need to understand the confusion over Jacob's trouble. And then lastly, the corruption of Romans 11, 25 through 26. Go back there. This is what I want to talk about here. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 25. Let me turn there as well. And I'm telling you, I've had more people swing this stick at me than I can think about. Say, Romans 11:26. Let's read it again. Verse 25 says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. And often the other side will say, see, you guys are just trying to be wise in your own conceit. You're a bunch of proud people. that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So in order to know when Israel shall be saved, we need to know what the times of the Gentiles are, right? Go to Daniel chapter number 8, and hold your place there in Romans chapter 11. And we mentioned before, but the times of the Gentiles is not the church age. Okay, amen. There's no such thing as the church age. You know, you have the church in the wilderness in the Old Testament. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says, glory and be in the church throughout all ages. Right? Amen. Daniel chapter 8, verse number 11 says, yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto the certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So we see two things taking place during this time. We see the transgression of desolation, or what we would refer to as in the New Testament, the abomination of desolation, and also the trodding of the sanctuary underfoot in Daniel chapter 8. You guys get that? We see that, right? They happened almost simultaneously. Go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter number 21 and verse number 20. The Bible reads here, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Why? Because the Antichrist is about to make Jerusalem desolate. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of what? Vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. So who is this vengeance on?
The Jews.
These be the days of vengeance. You say, man, I think that it's a stretch by saying that. Keep reading. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Then there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, the distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. So we see what? Upon them is coming this vengeance. Then it says there's going to be signs in the moons and the stars. Why? Because the sun and moon are going to be darkened, right? And then soon thereafter is the rapture. We're going to see that in just a minute. Men's hearts failing them, verse 26, for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up what? Your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So the vengeance is on them. Redemption is for us.
Amen.
So we see here the abomination of desolation is being set up. And what does he talk about? He talks about Jerusalem being trodden down under the foot of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, which is 3.5 years afterwards. Go to Revelation chapter number 11. Revelation chapter number 11. How do you know it's 3.5 years? Revelation chapter 11. So we see desolation, Jerusalem is trodden, and then we see the rapture. Revelation chapter 11, verse number 1. The Bible reads here, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. Not like thousands of years. 42 months is when they tread it. So what happens after that 42 months? Is Armageddon, right? You see, you're repeating yourself. I'm doing it for a reason. Go back to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. So when does that take place? Because if we have the abomination of desolation taking place, right? If we had the Gentiles trotting Jerusalem underfoot 42 months, well, 42 months, 3.5 years, then you have the millennial reign. Well, according to Romans chapter 11, verse 26. All Israel shall be saved, for out of Zion there shall come forth a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Israel. Well, if you study where that, by the way, anytime the Bible says, as it is written, what does that tell us? We need to go back to the Old Testament, right?
Yes.
So don't quote all Israel shall be saved and then leave the rest out. Because that's giving you a hint when that's actually taking place. So when it says, out of Zion there shall come forth a deliverer, all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, the deliverer shall come forth out of Zion, and ungodly shall be turned away from Jacob. That's referring to two areas in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23 and Jeremiah chapter 33. And in Jeremiah chapter 33 and 23, it says this, Judah shall be saved. And by the way, preachers will use that. Like, there you go, Judah shall be saved. But let's go there. Jeremiah chapter 33. I'm sorry, 23 first. We'll go to 23 first. Jeremiah chapter 23. In verse number 5, the Bible reads here in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Who's that branch talking about? Jesus, capital B, right? And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. When is he going to do that? In the millennial reign.
Amen.
Because the Bible says in Revelation that he's going to rule with a rod of iron, right? The Levitical law is going to come back. We're going to execute the laws and justices of the Lord. And it says here, the days will come when he will do that. And look what it says in verse 6. In his days, in the millennial reign, Judah shall be saved. And Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And by the way, it says Judah shall be saved, and they shall dwell in what? Safety.
Yep.
Why is that? Because right now, they're not dwelling in safety. There's a bunch of unsaved Israelites over there.
Yep. Yep.
Go to chapter 33. Chapter 33. And verse 15, in those days and at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. So we see here, what is he talking about? He's talking about the millennial reign. And here's the thing, preacher will say, yeah, that's what we're talking about, Brother Bruce. They're going to be saved. They're going to be justified. God's not done with Israel. No, God is done with them. Now, let me ask you this. Is God done with the saved Israelites of the Old Testament who have passed on?
No.
No. Because God is not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living.
Amen.
Right? But once they got saved, yes, they were of Israel. Like Paul said, that he was of the tribe of what? Benjamin. But he was a saved Benjamite. There's a huge difference, okay? If you don't believe me, look at the Benjamites in Judges chapter 19. Bunch of sons of Belial. Now go back to Romans chapter 11. We're going to keep going back here. So hold your place there in Jeremiah. We're going to go back and forth. Romans chapter 11. So look what the Bible says here in verse 26. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. Now look at verse 25 where it says this, that blindness in part is happened unto Israel. So according to the Bible, he's saying this. No, and this is what they say, you know, the scales will be removed from their eyes in Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse number, let's see here. Verse number 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? And here's the thing. Verse 7 is one of my favorite verses. Because it makes a distinction between two people. It says, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. So who's the election? The saved people. And if you read the entire chapter, even at the end of Romans chapter 10, it makes a distinction between saved Israel and the unsaved people. You know, even David said, I pray that those people never get saved. I mean, that's rough,
yeah.
Right? But look what it goes on to say. And the rest were what?
Blinded.
So blindness in part is happened unto Israel. Why? Because part of them are blind. Part of them are still not saved. In fact, Jesus told the Pharisees what? Because you think you see, you're still blind.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? Now look what it goes on to say. Go back to verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. Now, here's the thing. In the millennial reign, it's only going to be saved Israelites.
Amen.
Right? And here's the thing. Even today in Romans chapter 9, the Bible says not all who are of Israel are of Israel.
Right.
So that goes to show us that there are saved and unsaved Israelites in Israel, but not all of them who are in Israel really are of Israel. Because God only recognizes saved Israel.
Amen.
By the way, saved Israel is right here, amen?
Amen.
I know my parents were born in Guatemala, but hey, my citizenship is in heaven. I am an Israelite indeed. Amen?
Yes.
Saved. Romans 9:6 says, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So it explains to us, they're not all of Israel, okay? So you say, we know these things. Okay, I know you know these things. But it's not grievous for me to tell you these things over and over again, okay? And we're setting something up right here. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 6. When are you going to get to all Israel being saved? When are you going to get to that? I'm going to get to it in the next 30 minutes. Just kidding. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. And verse number 29 is a verse that we use to define what a reprobate is, right? Reprobate civil shall men call them, for the Lord hath rejected them. And we simply know the definition of reprobate means to be rejected, okay? That's what we use. But often, this is actually a very good passage to use to prove replacement theology, okay? And I'm explaining to you why. Look at verse 28. They're all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They're all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain. Why? For the wicked are not plucked away. And then it says, reprobate silver shall men call them, for the Lord hath rejected them. So it's saying here that the Israelites during this time, God rejected them. They became a reprobate silver because obviously in Deuteronomy and Exodus it says they were a peculiar treasure. They were like silver, right? Well, they became reprobate silver, rejected silver. Why? Because the wicked were not plucked away. That means there were ungodly people within Israel and they were not plucked away. He said, what does that have to do with the presidency in China? Look, in Proverbs it says this. Pay attention. Take away the dross from the silver and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Then it says this in the next verse. Take away the wicked from before the king and there shall his kingdom shall be established in righteousness.
Amen.
Take away the wicked from before the king and his kingdom shall be established in righteousness. When is Christ's kingdom going to be established in righteousness? In the millennial reign. Well, what has to happen in order for that to take place? The wicked need to be plucked out. The dross needs to be removed. By the way, that happens in Armageddon. The days of vengeance. He kills them all off. The wicked are plucked away. And so all Israel shall be saved. Now, go back to Romans 11. Romans chapter. Does that make sense? I mean, it's very clear, isn't it? So he's saying that the unsaved Israelites are like dross and they need to be plucked away. Well, unfortunately, in Jeremiah chapter number 6, they were not plucked away. They were not taken out of the land. And that's why the Bible says that they became reprobate silver, shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Why? Because the wicked were not plucked away. Well, guess what? In Revelation chapter 19, Christ is going to come. The days of vengeance are going to be there and he's going to wipe out unbelieving Israel. These be the days of vengeance. They shall fall by the sword, the Bible says. They're going to die. God's going to kill them. And the dross will be removed. That's why his kingdom can be established in righteousness. Why? Because the wicked are removed from before the king.
Amen.
Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. I hope that makes sense. Romans chapter 11, so verse 26. And again, this doesn't mean justification. Because here's the thing, we often, people would use, they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved, right? And say, yeah, see, you got to endure to the end, and these stupid Calvinists, you got to make sure you persevere and all these things, because they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We know that's not what it means. It means their flesh. Physically, they're going to be saved. But there's more than one way to being saved, right? I'm not talking about to go to heaven. I'm talking about the word saved means different things. Like, for instance, you have a way to prove that passage is this. In Acts chapter number 2, it says, the sun and moon shall be darkened. And it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? Well, that's a quote from Joel, where the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Does that make sense? So delivered and saved mean the same thing, but it's talking about your physical body. Why? Because when the sun and moon are darkened, the rapture takes place. And if we that are which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the air, our flesh will be saved. Does that make sense? Well, here in Romans chapter 11, verse number 26, it's the same thing. Now, this is the way I've been thinking about it. I was like, what's the best way to explain what this means that all Israel shall be saved? Obviously, we know the wicked are plucked away. If I were to tell Brother Philip, I'm going to be late to the party. Okay, I'm going to be like an hour late, but I need you to save me a seat. Or, you know, I heard you're going to have 5 cakes there. Okay, I need you to save me all 5. And I get there and you tell me, yeah, I wasn't able to save all 5, but there's one that I was able to save, right? When I say save me a seat or save me a cake, what's another word for that? Someone tell me.
Reserve.
Reserve me that cake. Now, what if I get there, right? And he wasn't able to reserve anything. I mean, he was able to reserve like maybe 1. He goes, man, I'm sorry, but I was only able to reserve 1. But hey, look, one of my daughters is going to have a birthday next week. And don't worry, I'm going to reserve all of them for you in that day. All the cakes will be reserved. Okay, keep that in mind. Does that make sense? To reserve and save mean like basically the same thing right there, right? Now look at verse number 4 of Romans chapter number 11. Excuse me, let's start in verse number 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercessions to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed our prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Verse 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have what?
Reserved
to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then at this present time, also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. So what is he saying? In Elijah's day, 7,000 were reserved, right? Well, guess what? In Revelation chapter 19, all Israel shall be reserved. All Israel will be there. Because throughout the ages, obviously there's been unbelieving Israelites everywhere. And there's only, and the Bible tells us there's constantly going to be a remnant. There's always going to be a remnant. Well, the Bible tells us that in the end times, when the millennial reign is set up, all Israel shall be reserved. Not just 7,000, not just a few, not just 10, not just 20, not even just 144,000 wherever they came from. No, all of them shall be reserved. Not saved, justified. God says, I'm going to reserve these. Now it's all Israel. Why? Because the wicked have been plucked away. Does that make sense? This is not a new teaching. It's not a new doctrine. But the thing is, so much false doctrine has been taught from this verse. We just need to go to it and see what the Bible really has to say about it. All Israel shall be reserved. They shall be saved. Why is that? Because the wicked are plucked away from before the king. That's what the Bible's teaching there. So next time a preacher ever comes to you and says, hey, all Israel shall be saved, you just tell him, have you read verses 4 through 5? Have you read verse 9? Have you read Jeremiah chapter number 6? Have you read the principle of plucking away the wicked before the righteous so the kingdom can be established in righteousness? No, Israel's not going to be saved. No, these unbelieving, Christ-rejecting Israelites and Jews are not going to be saved.
Amen.
And people are not saved differently throughout all ages.
Amen.
We don't believe in this dispensational crap.
Amen.
Okay, that says, well, we're in the gospel of grace. We've been in the gospel of grace.
Amen.
It's been that way since the Old Testament. You know? And here's the thing. Well, the problem with a lot of pastors nowadays is that they're not getting anything fresh from God anymore. And the reason why is because they're going to these commentaries to learn these deep truths. Because and Isaac shall thy seed be called. We, brethren, as Isaac are the children of promise. We got to do something about that. Let me go to this unsaved commentator, see what he has to say about it. Okay? So what happens? They get these commentaries from these unsaved people, and they begin to learn a lot of false doctrine. And now it's not like we don't have to read in context with text. We just need to read just a little bit of the text in order to get it to say what we want it to say. All Israel shall be saved. Well, what about the last part? All Israel shall be saved. Well, what about until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled? Oh, all Israel shall be saved. Well, what about when God says, I've reserved to myself 7,000 prophets who have not bowed the knee to Baal? You're leaving some things out here. Okay? And it's falling apart. The doctrine is falling apart in regards to this. Why? Because simply they're not reading in context. Look, don't worry when you face someone who believes this false doctrine. Just explain. Look, save means reserved. No, you're reading too much into it. It says it right there in verse 4 that he's reserved to himself 7,000 prophets and not bowed the knee to Baal. According to the election of grace. Yeah, but the elect are the Jews. Don't even give me that. The elect are the Jews. Okay? So what's the sermon this morning? Yeah, all Israel shall be saved. Absolutely. They will be reserved. And in the Old Testament, only 7,000 throughout the ages, there's always been a remnant, right? A righteous remnant, a saved remnant. But at the end of days, all of them shall be reserved. Amen. All of them will be there.